Some towns in Italy and South Korea are now under lockdown because of the coronavirus.
The epidemic may be slowing in China, but the virus is spreading on other continents.
As a global community, we should be able to manage it.
Is that really going to be possible?
I'm Noelle King here with Rachel Martin, and this is Up First from NPR News. Bernie Sanders has the momentum in the Democratic primary.
We have now won the Nevada caucus.
In Nevada, entrance polls showed Sanders winning big in lots of demographics, including Latinx voters, women, and people with varying levels of education. Will his challengers take him on directly in South Carolina?
And first there was Howdy Modi, and now Namaste Trump. President Trump appeared at a rally today in the Indian state of Gujarat in front of 110,000 people. Who are Trump's Indian fans? Stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your day.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn 5% back at Walmart online and 2% at Walmart in-store, restaurants, and travel. The Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply.
Support also comes from BetterHelp, online counseling by licensed professional counselors specializing in issues including depression, stress, and anxiety. Visit BetterHelp.com/upfirst to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
The coronavirus is spreading in ways that make it even more mysterious.
Right. So first, there's some good news. The number of confirmed cases in China is reportedly dropping. But at the same time, there are significant new outbreaks in South Korea and in Italy, and at least 8 people in Iran have died from the virus. Now, those countries and others are doing what they can to contain it. The problem is no one really understands how this virus is being transmitted.
NPR's Jason Beaubien has been following the coronavirus story and joins us now from Hong Kong. So, Jason, why this rise in cases all of a sudden in several different places over the last few days?
It's really not clear why all of a sudden we're getting these sudden outbreaks in all of these different places. We don't know exactly what the chain of transmission was that has sparked this, and that makes it even harder to respond to it. These new outbreaks came on really incredibly quickly. Last week, Italy had only reported 3 cases. Now they're reporting more than 150.
Right.
Iran, as of last week, hadn't reported any cases. And now they've got several dozen confirmed. And as you mentioned, at least 8 dead. That death number suggests that the outbreak probably had been brewing for a while, and that there could be potentially hundreds of cases that are out there that are undetected. South Korea now is up above 800 cases. Again, that explosion of cases, most of them were coming last week. There was 150 cases reported yesterday, another 70 reported today out of Korea. And in addition, it's not just these big outbreaks. We're also seeing 7 Middle Eastern countries now all having reported a case at least.
Huh.
So it's spreading both geographically and you're getting these new hotspots.
So what do those countries do? I mean, especially in a place where there's only like, well, you know, one or a handful of cases. Do they lock the whole place down still?
So those places are trying to contain it where they only have 1 or 2 cases. Places like Italy and also Iran, they're going in and quarantining. Italy has put up roadblocks. They're canceling school, canceling universities. Some lawmakers in Iran are talking about quarantining the city of Qom, maybe even having to quarantine Tehran if things get much worse.
What's going on in Hong Kong, where you are?
So Hong Kong, it's kind of cruising along. We had another 4 cases today. 2 of them were people who had come back and they were in quarantine. They had been on the Diamond Princess. So we've got 5 people who tested negative in Japan from the Diamond Princess. Now they're back and they've tested positive. And then there's 2 other cases. We have another cluster at a Buddhist temple here. They've got tens of thousands of people under home quarantine. They're trying to manage this as best they can, but you're not seeing the huge numbers like you are in some other places.
So what's the messaging right now from World Health officials, especially because it just seems so nonsensical where it's popping up and to what degree?
Yeah, there's, great concern that we have reached a turning point. I talked to this guy, Dirk Pfeiffer. He studies emerging infectious diseases at the City University of Hong Kong. And he was basically saying that he believes this has become a pandemic and the world should start preparing for transmission occurring globally. We're also hearing similar things to that from the World Health Organization. And basically, people are saying we may need to really shift now and think about this differently, think about it as something like the flu that we're going to have to deal with on an ongoing basis and not as an emergency.
I'm NPR's Jason Beaubien. We appreciate it. All right, the Democratic presidential primary now moves to South Carolina this week.
That's right, and so candidates will turn their focus there. Meanwhile, on Saturday, Bernie Sanders won the Nevada caucuses overwhelmingly. Entrance polls show that he won many important demographic groups, men and women, voters 64 and younger, and he won big among Latinx voters.
All right, NPR's Tamara Keith is with us this morning. Hi, Tam.
Good morning.
So help us sketch out what is ahead. How does what happened in Nevada, which is a Bernie Sanders victory, how will that play into or shift the sands in South Carolina?
We can't be sure, but what I know is that Bernie Sanders has added an extra rally in South Carolina, which is to say that there is a sense of momentum, and his campaign looked at the results in Nevada and said, hey, maybe we have a chance to make a play in South Carolina.
Had they not thought that, Tam?
Certainly he was going to try in South Carolina, but the fact that they're adding more means that they see a chance to really compete with Vice President Joe Biden in a state, South Carolina, that he has really staked his candidacy on. Vice President Biden has said South Carolina is the state that he needed to do well in Nevada, and he needs to win in South Carolina. Well, he got second place in Nevada, and now you turn to South Carolina.
So let's play a clip. This is the former vice president speaking on MSNBC yesterday.
I really believe I'm going to do very well here, and I'm going to do very well on Super Tuesday. I've had the broadest constituency in the sense that working class, high school educated, whites and African Americans have been the base of my support.
And as you noted, South Carolina, obviously very important to Joe Biden. He has enjoyed a double-digit lead there for a long time. But, I mean, how solid is his advantage at this moment?
There is not a lot of really great polling out of South Carolina, so it's not clear just how much the ground has shifted under him or whether it has. But this is a state that is absolutely critical for him. At this point in the race, there's the Bernie Sanders lane, and then there is a traffic jam in the everyone else lane. And every other candidate is trying to prove that they are in the strongest position to take on Sanders and eventually President Trump. And Biden is looking for the results in South Carolina to prove that for him to be able to say, hey, look, I've got this broad base. What Bernie Sanders got out of Nevada was he is now able to say that he has a very broad base, that he was able to expand beyond young white people.
So as we'll talk about in a few minutes, President Trump has been in India. He is in India. And notably, there are no Democrats holding political rallies there for their campaigns. And I say that because Trump's travel schedule has tended to run in parallel to the Democratic contenders as of late.
He's been something of a shadow or a counter programmer. About a day before every single one of these Democratic primary contests, he has shown up. So he is going to South Carolina on Friday before their Saturday primary. And then on Monday, he goes to North Carolina. And that is one of the 14 states and territories voting on Super Tuesday.
All right. NPR's Tam Keith for us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, huge adoring crowds, baseball hats with simple slogans, and a big personality on stage. These are the basic ingredients of a Trump rally anywhere in America. Today, though, it is the scene in Gujarat, India.
That's the sound of a crowd inside a cricket stadium, and those baseball caps don't say Make America Great Again, they say Namaste Trump. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi was in the U.S. last fall for an event called Howdy Modi, and today India returned the favor. President Trump was invited to give an address during his visit to India.
NPR's Lauren Freyer was at that very rally, and she joins us now. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, still am.
You're still there, so are people still lingering? I mean, what's the atmosphere like?
This is a stadium of 100,000 people, all wearing white baseball caps that you mentioned that read Namaste in Hindi, that means hello or welcome, and then Trump in English. And they were blasting Bollywood songs, but they switched to the song Macho Man just as Trump and Modi took the stage. It feels like every lamppost in this city is plastered with portraits of Trump and Modi holding hands. This is Modi's home state, and he's just throwing a gigantic welcome party for Trump. There are school groups here, Hindu nationalists, groups, business leaders. I saw a bare-chested guy with his whole body painted in the colors of the U.S. and Indian flags.
Wow.
There are some Indian Americans here. I spoke with Daksha Dalal. She came all the way from Kansas City.
I'm feeling proud and exuberant that two big democracies in action, you know, working together. one on the east, one on the west.
And she's a registered Democrat, but she voted for Trump last time, and she says she'll do so again in November.
Amazing. So, I mean, they've rolled out the red carpet. Modi has gone all out. Clearly, there are a lot of fans there for Modi and Trump. But more broadly, I mean, is Donald Trump popular in India?
He is. He's very popular. He is seen as a strong leader. You've got to go back to 1959 and Dwight Eisenhower to find a U.S. president addressing a crowd like this in India. Trump had praise for Modi when he spoke to the crowd, and it was just effusive. Here was what he had to say.
America loves India. America respects India. And America will always be faithful and loyal friends to the Indian people.
The crowd cheered when Trump said he's working to fight Islamist terrorism. The only time the crowd went silent was when Trump mentioned how he's also working with Pakistan, India's arch rival. But really, mostly it was light. He mentioned Bollywood films. He dropped a few famous names of cricket stars, botched the pronunciations of some of those, but the crowd went wild nonetheless.
Yeah, for the counts, I guess. So is this just about the spectacle of all of it, or is there any policy being made on this trip?
Not much. I mean, this trip seems to be so far more about pageantry and optics over substance. This evening, Trump and the First Lady are going to the Taj Mahal, and then will overnight in the capital, New Delhi. Tomorrow is the policy day, and Trump will be holding bilateral meetings and possibly some trade talks there.
Maybe catch a Bollywood film. Who knows?
Who knows?
NPR's Lauren Freyer. She was talking to us from the enormous rally in India. Prime Minister Narendra Modi had welcomed President Trump, who gave an address there just moments ago. Lauren, thanks. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Namaste.
Namaste. And that is Up First for this Monday, February 24th. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Noel King. And we would love it if you start your day here with us again tomorrow. You can subscribe to Up First wherever you listen to podcasts. And it actually helps the show if you give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
We appreciate that you listen to Up First. You can find more in-depth coverage of the stories that we talked about today and so much more on NPR's Morning Edition. It's a radio show. Noel hosts it, along with me and David Greene and Steve Inskeep. You can find Morning Edition and your NPR station at stations.npr.org.
Each of us is the star in the movie of our life. But how much of a role do we play in other people's movies?
It was a really sort of palpable fear that they were going to reject me or worse.
The unseen pressures we place on other people, this week on Hidden Brain from NPR.